pals o' mine. I'm Julie Parker, and this is Conversation Accessories. Dear Diary, Dear Abby, Dear Reader, writing is a means to release thoughts and ideas, whether it's private or for public consumption. Newspaper, magazine, and online sites can be a writer's best friend in venting on current events. Of course, each writer offers a different viewpoint based on his or her personal experiences. iOpinion Syndicate offers a variety of writers, columnists, bloggers, covering diverse subjects, amendment rights, male anorexia, politics, personal loss, book and music reviews, tributes, well, you get the idea. To give you a better idea of the diverse opinions and personalities behind iOpinion, I sat down with a few of its writers, David Winchelbaum, Deborah D'Angelo, Kelvin Wade, and Carolyn Weiler, to discuss a seemingly mundane topic, bellies.
So for my listeners' benefit, can you take turns saying your name, your day job, if you have one, and your age?
I'm David Winchelbaum. I am an English professor at Cosumnes River College, and I am 44 years old.
I'm Deborah D'Angelo. I'm the editor of the Winners Express and columnist with Mitnaughton Newspapers, and you don't need to know how old I am.
I'm Carolyn Weiler. My day job is a registered nurse at UC Davis, and I'm 55 years old, going on 25.
I'm Kelvin Wade. I'm 48 years old, and I'm a newspaper columnist for the Fairfield Daily Republic, and have been so for the last 23 years.
So to give my listeners a variety of the topics that you all like to write on, can you share some of those? I realize that they aren't always the same repetitive subjects, whatever catches your eye or attention or is passionate to you in any given day or week. But sometimes we have certain genres or areas that we're more prolific on than others. Deborah?
I don't really have a pattern. It's just whatever catches my fancy at the moment. I have to have a little gut feeling that just says, yes, that's interesting. There's a trail I can follow there. Sometimes I will write about things that are topical just because it's timely, but I have to have a vibe for the topic or I can't write it.
Kelvin?
Yeah, it's something that interests me. I have things that, obviously, since I'm African-American, I gravitate to those issues, and I try to explain a lot of things that people don't understand from a black perspective. But at the same time, I hate feeling obligated to do that. But other than that, I will, any other topical thing, I'll discuss anything, really. I'll write about anything.
Carolyn?
I like to talk about stuff about the psyche. I should have been a psychologist major, probably, because those people tend to be a little crazy. So I like to talk about things that, emotional things, write about stuff, emotional stuff, mostly, I think.
I think, therefore, I feel.
Yeah.
Dude?
I write about things that are occurring in my life. I have two boys, one 5 and one 14, so obviously they're a significant part of what I write about. I also like to write about pop culture, too.
So speaking of pop culture, there are many topics that pop up and re-pop up and re-pop up because they have nothing else and they need fillers. But I wanted to make a point to my listeners, those who want to be a writer, or at least get their toe wet a little bit and see if they really want to pursue something that feels like a passion to them. Everyday topic, a word, singular word, that has many aspects, many camera angles to it. So we're going to talk about bellies. Good, bad, ugly, necessary bellies. So I'm just going to randomly pick different topics that are related to that. Ask that all of you just kind of speak up about personal experiences, maybe news of the day, maybe your particular opinions on maybe something that the media is pushing that you don't agree with or maybe do agree with. So let's start with childhood obesity, because when I was a kid, I was a campfire girl camp, and I was sitting outside the shower with a couple of girls, and another girl came up to me and pointed at my stomach, at my belly, and mocked my two or three little rolls on my stomach, and I looked down because I didn't know what she was talking about. And today I think I wish I still had those two or three little rolls. But what is your take on childhood obesity, the causes and potential solutions?
I wasn't an obese child, but I was always the pudgy kid. And it all went to the belly. I carry it on the belly. But I heard forever growing up, hold your tummy in, hold your tummy in. And, you know, I would for 5 seconds or so, but like, what was the point, you know? And do sit-ups, why? I'm 9, who cares? But luckily when I got into high school, the belly sort of spread around to all the right places for a while, and then came children. But I just remember that particular area always being picked on. Belly. It was never flat enough, never tight enough, never small enough. And even in high school, when I was older, I had a very straight shape. I'm shaped like a washing board. So there's nowhere for that belly to go. It's just, I'm like a cookie dough tube. How do I say?
Now we have a couple of parents here in addition to Deborah. So have you heard any feedback or listened in on conversation with other parents that are your kids' age, like when they were little, Carolyn?
When my kids were young, David especially, well, he was a little bit overweight, and so he would get picked on by other people. They would call him fat and overweight. And Matthew, my stepson, as well, they would do that. And I think kids tend to do that some, especially when they get to junior high and high school. Society places a lot of emphasis on looking good and being a certain height and weight for appearance and everything. So I think it's real difficult.
So as a parent, how do you coach them in dealing with that?
What should I be talking about?
Well, if your child comes home from grade school, say, and they're crying or they're upset because somebody picked on them.
I know that one of my kids did deal with some anorexia and issues, and so I took them to the doctors and the psychiatrist and a social worker and a dietitian to try to get him over that. And, I mean, you try to reinforce that, oh, you look great, you know, you're doing good. You know, I don't know. You give them hugs when they do cry. It's a tough thing as a parent because you do try to reinforce all this positive feedback, but then they hear it from one or two people from school, and that's it. And that's what keeps going over and over in their head. You hear it from one person, and that's it. I think with my childhood, too, with my mom, there was a big emphasis on perfection. When I was a child. Now, I wasn't overweight as a child at all, but the perfection idea in my household was really big. We had to appear to look really good on the outside, even though we're all kind of messed up on the inside. And so religion was really important. And so my belly shame partly is associated with the religion concept, kind of ties in together because of the whole perfection idea. We had to look good, and then we had to be perfect. We couldn't cuss. We couldn't do all these things that teenagers were doing. You know, we couldn't.
So which book was Flat Bellies in? Was Flat Bellies in the New Testament or the Old Testament?
Yeah, I don't remember that book. I'm going to write it.
Good.
I'm going to add it to it.
Stay tuned. And David, you have kids that are still in school.
Yes, and I am really worried about the way society emphasizes body image in a negative and dangerous way. My 14-year-old is a diver, so he has to go out in front of people in a tiny little bathing suit and dive. And he's really skinny. He's so skinny that his coach one time joked while he was on the board, hey, you got to eat a sandwich or two, kid. And so he obviously gets a lot of the, hey, you got to bulk up, you got to eat. But I also know that there's a part of him that is very conscious about how he looks and, you know, the washboard stomach sort of thing. I try and talk about it. I try and say, hey, yeah, just eat. It's about you just feeling comfortable. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm up against this tsunami of negative images that tell them, hey, no, just don't eat anything or be really skinny because that's the way you should look.
The voices of your peers is often louder and sticks.
It is.
Now, some people try to claim that childhood obesity, big bellies, are limited to just certain demographics, certain cultures. But as an African American, have you found that to be the case?
I, you know, all you have to do is go to Walmart and you see everybody. In my case, you know, I grew up, I was a pudgy baby, and they used the word husky when I was a kid. And for me, food was always a comfort, and a lot of my memories are about food. I can remember being dropped off at this nursery my mother left me at, and I would cry and cry until they gave me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and grape juice. And I still remember that. It's a gross combination, but it was good back then. And for me, it was just food. And then as far as going to school and being teased and that kind of thing, I would come home and what I would do is head for more food as a comfort. And that's the cycle. Go back. If you know, you're abused, you're mistreated, come home and food is the comfort. And I grew up that way, and I all throughout junior high and high school. I didn't get picked on when I was in high school or something, because by then I was too big for people to be picking on me. But yeah, now today I have a grandson who is 10, and he's a big kid. I mean, he's probably close to 150 pounds, and I worry about him, and you know, I try to. 2 years ago, when I started a weight loss plan and things, I wanted to introduce him to these things that are called vegetables and fruits and that kind of thing. See, I'm worried about the next generation.
There's more crap food than there is real food, and you know, the budget challenges that a lot of parents have, and so it's tough. There's no one size fits all insofar as solutions are concerned. I've been writing my dad's biography, getting stories from him as go along before he leaves the planet. He was an avid reader when he was a kid. So I asked him what some of his favorite books were. I knew some of them were the Hardy Boys and, you know, mysteries. But he mentioned one, I can't remember the name of the kid's name now, the main hero of the book, but he was a fat kid. He was overweight, which is extremely unusual. And I asked him why he liked that particular book. He said because he was smart. He was the one that figured out all the mysteries. He's the one that solved everything. So he had the advantage of learning at an early age that appearance doesn't mean anything. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, speaking of social media and pressures, you have the celebrities that get a lot of shit when they put on weight. They become really famous no matter what their background is, and then all the tabloids have to put it out there. It's just ridiculous. But on the other end, you have famous people that actually became famous while they were overweight. They became famous in spite of it. So I want to throw out a few names, kind of one at a time, and have all your take on why you think that particular person was able to succeed when others might not have. Alfred Hitchcock.
I think his writing is just so brilliant and challenging and engaging that it doesn't even matter what he looks like. I mean, it truly just doesn't matter. And he seemed to take it all in stride and make that silhouette from his TV show and just walk into his roundish silhouette. I think at some point, the talent supersedes it all, in particular for a writer. That makes it easier if you're a writer than an actor.
But he also literally put himself in his own movies. So he's actually appearing in cameos.
Yeah.
Do you think people could do that now? Directors could do that now and get away with it?
Oh, they do. Some of them do.
Quentin Tarantino does it.
No, I mean as far as someone who the social media terms as fat or obese. I think they could do that.
Well,
today.
Come on. Let's face it. He's got it. And guys can pull that off. John Favreau.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean...
Yeah, he's not a little guy.
He's a big guy, right? One of his last movie, Chef. I mean, he's a big guy. And he jokes about when he first started out as an actor and he had to do these bit parts where he played the large guy. In fact, maybe he was on Letterman or something, but he had to go in there and the name of his character was Fat Ass. And so he walked in and like the secretary's like, so who are you, you know, who's your role, what's your role? And he's like, I'm Fatas, right? And it took her about a minute or two where she's like, oh, okay. I see. Guys can pull it off. I mean, it's a double standard.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not really fair. I mean, it kind of pisses me off at times that happens so much that, yeah, the woman has to be like, you know, 5'10", 120 pounds, and then the guy can be overweight. And back to this Alfred Hitchcock, it's also an age thing. He's black and white, and maybe he was good. I don't know. I don't like him. Can I say that?
Well, again, my opinion.
Black and white movies. I'm not a fan of black and white movies. And back then, it was a different time. So who's to say what he could do now, too, in today's time? Because It was a different time.
Well, you know, Elvis Presley, he had that great career when he was thinner, and he obviously was horrible shape at the end.
Yeah.
But people forgive him because of his younger years.
He has a better career now, actually. He's dead.
He hasn't quite left the building.
I'm just waiting for that religion that he's going to start. Sorry, you can edit. Okay, take out whatever you want.
Do you remember watching any Hitchcock films, Kelvin?
Oh, yeah, I love Hitchcock.
Yeah.
I agree with Deborah. I mean, it's with the talent. If the movies were crap, it wouldn't work. I don't know. And I do think it was a different time then, too.
Well, and plus, his persona matched his movies. You didn't see him laughing or joking very often. He had that somber, macabre appearance.
But on his TV show, he makes the craziest, darkest little jokes at the very end.
Very dry humor.
You can get it on Netflix. So you go, wow, this guy is a twisted little monkey.
Okay, next name. Melissa McCarthy.
She's a rock star.
She is a rock star.
Yeah, whenever I see a celebrity like that, I'm always thinking, well, eventually they're going to turn up really thin, like Jennifer Hudson or somebody. And it hasn't happened yet. And she doesn't appear to be bothered by it. She's probably one of the biggest actors in Hollywood today. And more power to her.
Yeah, she's in your face.
She's
enjoy
funny.
This. I don't
she's
care
funny
if I'm
too,
fit.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's
funny. And I think humor goes a long way, too.
Laughing at it.
Laughing is important.
To beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
Like Dolly Parton, all the cosmetic surgeries that she's had. And someone said, well, you know, do you think you've had too many? And she said, honey, I'd have brain surgery if it'd make me smarter.
Melissa McCarthy's last movie, which I can't recall the title of, but I saw it. It was good. And the thing I noticed with the whole movie, not one fat joke or reference to her weight the entire movie. And so that's because usually if there's a fat person in the role, there's going to be something.
Like David was talking about. The fat ass character. Yeah. Adele
makes me want to slit my wrists, and it's not because she's fat, because I just can't stand that.
You don't like her? Oh my gosh, I love her voice.
No, you know, if you're that sad over a man, get over it. There's 10 other men in the corner. You can find men all over the place. Jeez, have some self-esteem.
Oh, you think she's sad over a man?
I just the sound of her voice.
She doesn't need a man.
The sound of her voice makes me sad. Is she heavy? I don't know.
I mean, she doesn't seem fat. I mean, she doesn't look like she does heroin or anything like that. And she's like, you know, a model. But I don't know. I mean,
well, she's overweight enough to the public that when she announced she was pregnant, immediately this backlash was, you're already overweight, now you're going to be huge.
It seems to be,
is that why she hasn't done anything recently, because she's pregnant?
That's probably it. Yeah.
The pressure to stay thin in England is much more vicious if you're a celebrity, I think, than here.
No, it isn't.
If you think about what they did to Fergie,
their tabloids are vicious, but the people are conscious of it just like we are. There's just more of us than there are of them.
They gave us Twiggy. It's their fault.
Yardley.
I love her voice, though.
Her voice is nice.
Oh my gosh, what
a
rage.
Think about something else.
Okay, Kevin Smith. Actor, director, remember? Silent Bob.
I like him.
He was kicked off of Southwest because he didn't buy two tickets for two seats.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
He got so angry that he went online to Twitter and 3,000 people sent their opinions to Southwest, who immediately apologized. But he's never been slim, and he doesn't care.
No.
No.
That's also been his persona, too. I mean,
he worked with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kathy Bates.
She's just talented.
Yeah,
again.
She's great.
She's scary.
Yeah, she is kind of scary, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with her.
You're holding Misery over her head?
Yeah. If you're a writer, that's like, Misery is the worst.
But she can also be very funny.
Yeah, I think she's just very, people respect her. She's very talented, and like Melissa McCarthy, she's fearless. There was a movie just a few years ago where she did a nude scene in the movie, and she's...
Yeah, in the hot tub, I think, with Jack Nicholson and Slim either.
Yeah, I didn't need to see either of them or her naked, just to clarify.
Just generally.
I really don't need to see a lot of people naked, and that, yeah.
Okay, Queen Latifah.
I love her.
I don't like her.
Oh, man, when she sang, what was the song from Chicago? Do Right by Mama. Oh, she's so sassy. She is, I just like her.
She's got attitude.
I have kind of a girl crush on her.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, then you would be in her network. Okay, let's switch gears here. How some people try to recover from a relationship that ended and it wasn't their choice. For example, my cousin's husband left her for a younger woman. And her response was, well, my stomach is flatter because I do 60 push-ups every night. That was her response, because that's how she was going to deal with it. Well, at least my stomach is flatter than hers.
Well, that's sad.
Very sad. So in recovery mode, people will do things to the extreme. That was just her voice and statement, but they'll actually take acts like comfort food, as you mentioned earlier, Kelvin, eating too much, or the extreme, just not eating it at all. Did you ever go through any of those periods or know somebody who did?
I'm getting divorced right now, and so I've lost a shit ton of weight, and I wouldn't recommend the divorce diet to anybody, but it is kind of weird because I'm bombarded by people like, Have you lost weight? And then, like, you know, the people who know are like, are you okay? And so, yeah, I guess I need to buy new clothes or something because I'm looking a little baggy.
Just tell them that you're diving now like your son.
No, because they know that's bullshit. So, it was like, when you first mentioned that sort of thing, yeah, I was like, wait, how does this have to do with belly? Because, I'm trying to fill my belly with alcohol sometimes, but I don't know.
It's funny how body parts play a part and you don't even realize it consciously.
I just read this book on how your brain deals with pleasure and pain, and it talks about that after a breakup and you get depressed, you'll want to eat. This is why people, go get the half gallon ice cream and that kind of thing. But if the loss is much more devastating than that, then the opposite happens and the person won't want to eat at all. And I have a woman that I know that her husband cheated on her and left her, and she was very heavy, and within 6 months when I saw her, she was just totally different. She had lost so much weight. She too said she wouldn't recommend it, but she just, it was amazing, the transformation.
Yeah, so don't do that at home, kids.
So maybe I need to get dumped.
Well, the thinnest that I ever been as an adult was when I lived near the beach in Southern California. I literally was 5 houses from the beach. And I'd walk along the beach every day, 5 miles, soft sand, so I looked really good. And I remember at one point, I'm lying on my back, and I realized, because I have hip bones, they're kind of hard, higher up, and my stomach was so flat when I lay down that you could literally see underneath the material. I'm like, oh, shit. So I have to do the rotating rotisserie thing more often. So it wasn't from loss or even a specific diet that I went on, but it was just my lifestyle, which unfortunately is no longer. But there's so many people that are looking for that now, and some of it just drops on us when we aren't even trying to do it. So do you think, David, that have you noticed a difference in your, and I'm not talking emotional, but just physical energy, being a couple pounds lighter?
Okay.
That you'd want to maintain for different reasons.
Thank you for using, I'm using air quotes, a couple pounds. A few years ago, my mom lives along with, my mom is Chinese, and she, I think if you look up blunt in the dictionary, there's her picture right there. So, like, the last time I saw her, and I was about, I'm 5'7", and I think I was about up to 175, 180. She saw me, and essentially she was like, your face is very round. And I'm like, Mom, are you saying I'm fat? She's like, yeah. But how do I feel? Yeah, I think that I tried to get into shape.
But, I mean, would you want to maintain where you are right now, or do you think it's too thin?
You know, I just want clothes that are going to fit me. Yeah, I think I'm fine right now, and I'm trying to be healthy, and, when I take care of the kids, I know I gotta, that's my job. So, yeah, I mean, I was too heavy, and now I think I need to be careful not to lose more weight.
Just try to hold holding pattern if you can.
That's right.
For as long as you can.
Exactly.
Now, let's address motherhood. My mom All three of us were C-sections because back then they said if the first one was, then all the rest of them had to be, which is no longer the case. And so she had that scar down there. And I remember one year, my dad bought her for her birthday this beautiful peach pantsuit. It was gorgeous. And it was a lovely color on her. But she was angry. First thing she said was, I can't wear this, you know, because of my stomach. She was angry at him for buying that for her because it was kind of stretchy material. And he looked really confused because he was actually had very good taste in clothes. And because all he saw was that his wife would look really attractive on this. He would love to see her in that. He wasn't thinking about her belly or the scar or any of that because it was the woman that he loved and cared about. And that's all he was thinking. But women who have those belly issues post-childbirth have a plethora of issues that are faced with every day. What are the ones that stand out the most, Deborah and Carolyn, for the two of you?
Yeah, I think trying to get clothes to fit that look good because, yeah, that's the problem area right there. And then the rest of them fit just fine, you know, so you can get a certain size and you think, oh, this is a size 8 or it's going to fit easy. And then it doesn't. And you think, oh, crap, I have to go up to the next size up. And you refuse to do that. So you just suck in your belly and just...
Well, her issues were she couldn't suck the belly in because of the scar.
Yeah, and I have that scar issue too. I had 4 cesareans. So, yeah, I have that same problem.
I think also beyond the, I'm 2 sizes larger now than I was before I went into pregnancy, there's also the issue of stretch marks. Because I had a time after I got divorced, I had lost a lot of weight running. That was when I was at my fittest at 40. I was a monster at 40. I used to run 5 miles a day. That worked out well until I broke a bone in my foot and then the weight crept back on. But even at my thinnest, there was still the issue of stretch marks. Because I look like I've been clawed by a monster. And no matter how thin you are, you can't fix that problem. So even though I got down to a size 8, and for my body frame, that's too small, and people were starting to call me crack whore and saying, knock it off, you've done enough damage. But even then, I couldn't wear a two-piece. I could not think of wearing a two-piece because I looked like I was scarred. And when you're divorced and going out into the dating world again, that's the big question. When he sees how flawed I am, he's going to run the other way. But my second husband, when he saw my scars, and I said, well, now you've seen all my flaws. And he says, I don't see flaws. I only see beauty. And I married that guy.
Oh.
Tag, you're in. But to be able to relax because you think, oh, I'm damaged. No matter how thin I get, even at size 8 with the veins showing through my arms, I'm damaged. And that was associated with that body area.
So let's hear from the two guys. What's your perception? Personal and other guys that you've known.
That after your cesarean.
After my cesarean.
Yeah. No, I mean women.
I'm sorry.
Because obviously you've met women that have given birth and have these physical, I'm not even going to say they're issues, they have these physical changes in their body. That's just life. Literally and figuratively. Some guys don't give a shit. Others are all, no, you have to look this way and that way, not bothering to look at themselves. Some are kind of in between. It's like, well, yeah, I remember when there were smooth stomachs and now it's not anymore. And because dating, you are meeting women before and after. You're meeting people, women that have given birth. You meet women have not yet given. So do you think it's your experiences before meeting these women that affected you or conversations that you've had over the years?
I'd say that I've never, and this, I don't think that I've ever met a woman that was satisfied with her body. They could,
probably
to me, I'm looking there, they're fine. And they're, oh, look at my thighs, look at my hips. For men could, you know, they can have a beer belly, they could, but they're going to stand in front of a mirror and go, wow, yeah, I look pretty good. You know, women want me. I know because I do it. But I think it's just I don't know if men are that I don't know if men are that focused on themselves as women are.
You know what I think it is? Men don't grow up reading magazines that are dedicated to telling you whatever it is you are, it's wrong. You need to be thinner or this shape or have this color hair or this kind of makeup or these kind of clothes, mm-hmm. or you need to be listening to this music, have this, whatever it is you are, it's wrong. And we've got the product to sell it to you to make it right. And women just seem to buy into it and they gulp that down. And men, not as much. You know, they're busy trying to sneak Playboys when they're 13, not look at art, the magazines that we read about all of our flaws and how to fix them. And then, consequently, men look at Playboy magazines and think, oh, that's how women are supposed to look. And they don't even look that way because they're airbrushed. So nobody's got a good idea of what a normal female body should look like.
It's true. There is this huge difference. I moved in with my girlfriend and she had a bathroom. I had a bathroom. My bathroom counter had like toothpaste, deodorant, aftershave, just two or three things. And hers was, it was just, I couldn't believe so many different products. And she said, oh, those are my lotions and potions. And
yeah, my bathroom is like yours. I just have basic stuff in there because I know none of this crap's going to work. this is what I have. Like, you know, I have to suck it up. I want to throw a few phrases and singular words, like kind of like word association or phrase association, just personal experiences, you know, you've had with them or jokes you heard. Belly flop.
Candy.
Candy.
Yeah. Belly flops are when you go to the Jelly Belly factory and you get big bags of jelly beans for $2.
Huh. I just remember pain.
Diving.
Yeah, I just remember
diving.
Yeah.
Pain.
Of course, diving. Pain.
It hurts.
Okay, I bet your dreams are a lot different than ours. Okay, we want a picture, not a belly itcher.
I really hate that phrase.
What is
it? It's so annoying.
What is a belly itcher?
People just bored, scratching their stomach, they're not working.
Yeah, I never got that one.
Well, that's why I'm here, Deborah.
Thank you. I'm not really from this planet.
Your time.
So did you just have to hear it a lot? Is that why you didn't like it?
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, you know, in Little League, they would say it sometimes. And I was just like, this is, what the hell are you saying?
They don't say it anymore.
You didn't get it either, huh?
I don't know. I don't play Little League anymore. yeah.
They won't let you in anymore.
I know I show up.
His face is up on the gate. He's not allowed in. Hey, Buddha belly.
Weird associations. We had a Buddha statue in our house and rubbing his belly was good luck and he was so happy. And yeah, again, like candy and I think, yeah, good
That's
luck.
A pattern.
I'm getting all positive here.
So wait, I gotta ask. So like when you guys were pregnant, what were the boundaries for people wanting to touch your belly? What
Basically,
was up with
it's
that?
A free pass for everybody to put their hands on you.
So every
you say,
creep in the world
touches your belly. Yeah, I can touch.
Did you carry a taser or something? Or
I don't
what?
Remember that happened. Once, I think I remember my brother touching me and on my lower belly. It was like right here. I thought, crap, you know, that's way too low. Just, you know, up here. Do up here a bit.
The novelty. I think I hear and have read many columns by black women complaining white people are always wanting to touch their hair. And the really sad thing is I get it because I do. I want to go like a cat.
Your
in
cat
the hair.
In
it just
life.
Looks so cool. I understand the urge. I've now said it out loud, but I don't do it. But I think it's the same thing. You want to touch the thing that you don't understand. So I imagine, yeah, nobody's ever wanted to run their hands in my hair.
There you
but
go.
I think, you know, people,
phrenology.
People want to just put their hands on it, and it's magical, and there's something growing in there.
They want to see if it's a kick. They want to feel a kick.
But they do invade your space without asking.
So how did Buddha get his belly good lucked? How did that come down?
I don't know.
I don't see it as luck. I see it as another religion, and it just pisses me off.
Okay, moving on.
Sorry.
Belly ring.
Wish I could have
belly ring. I don't think
I think
have
it's attractive.
On
it. They're cute.
Depends.
Until I had a friend tell me a story of holding her young toddler when she had just gotten a really cute belly ring, and she had this cute flat little belly. And the toddler's little toe happened to get stuck in the ring, and then the toddler kicked. Yeah.
Ooh.
And it ripped through. And I went, yeah, never going to have one of those. And another belly ring story. My daughter, when she was in eighth grade.
Do I need to leave her?
just have a barf bag in here. She wanted to have her belly pierced, but she was only in eighth grade. And so she did it herself without telling me and gave herself a massive infection there trying to pierce her own belly button. And then she got it pierced for real, but I can't even imagine sticking a needle right through there. It's just, no. But the toddler toe in the ring, beware, young mothers.
Yellow belly.
bellied sapsucker?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yellow bellied sapsucker. Yosemite Sam.
Okay, I'm a little nervous because now we are thinking alike.
You're getting old.
Yellow belly meant that you were a coward.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't hear that phrase anymore. No. PC, no. Probably.
It is interesting. You hear that in old westerns.
Okay, last one, because it wouldn't be complete unless I brought this up. Monty Python, just one more water thin mint.
Bam. Oh, wow.
That's an image, a visual that never leaves you, ever.
Been there, done that. I just there's, but there's only like 5 more chips in the bag.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Bring me a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
By the way, if for some reason you didn't get that last reference, it is, of course, a hilarious scene from Monty Python's Meaning of Life, where an extremely, extremely obese man in a restaurant eats just one item too much and his belly explodes. Yeah, it's gross. But it's also funny. Visit iPinionSyndicate.com and discover people with similar interests and opinions, beautiful photographs, and powerful insights into the seemingly mundane. Oh, and there are some delicious recipes for you foodies. Do something different. Next karaoke, sing a traditional children's song. They won't see that coming.